Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We're going to have a wonderful program. I'd like you to pay attention. I'd like you to get a pad and pencil out or a pen and take down some important information as we move along. Well, speaking of contacting us or our guest, the very first thing I'd like to do is encourage you to contact us. And I'm going to give you two ways to do that. If you would like to just sit down, write a letter, and put a stamp on an envelope, I would like to hear from you. Please send it to the following address. Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. And the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. That is 06836. If you're on the computer and would like to email us, please do so at clemons10@aol.com. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at aol.com. While you're on the computer, I encourage you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today, and you can find that at spirituality.org, spirituality.org. Don't put com, that'll send you somewhere else. So spirituality.org. And not only can you find some articles, but also our program, Thoughts for the Week, and you can listen to it at your convenience. Well, at this time, I first need to introduce my co-host, Dorothy Riera, who is with us today. Welcome.
Thank you, Father. Always a delight to be here with you and our special, special guest today.
Yeah, today, folks, we're going to be talking about a topic and a program that is unique to New England. It does exist in various places throughout the country, but unique to the six states of New England, and Connecticut has it. And we also have its director as our guest today. I'd like to welcome Barbara Jean Daly Horrell, otherwise known as BJ. Welcome.
Hi, Father A.
We're delighted to have you here today. And we have to talk about the Hartford Catholic Biblical School. Well, why don't we just begin by having you tell us a little bit about exactly what the biblical school is.
Well, the Hartford Catholic Biblical School is a four-year program for adults in which you study every book of the Bible through the 4 years. You enroll 1 year at a time. It's not many people can say in 3 years where they're going to be, but we find they stick with us because we are a unique program, as you said, in that we're going beyond teaching about the Bible. In many Bible settings, you'll have someone who knows the Bible very well talking about the Bible and helping people get to know the contents. But what we do is a little bit more than that. We teach people to actually read the Bible. So we give them skills they learn about the history, they learn about the various literary forms, they learn about the culture of the time and the society and how the people of God developed over time. And we root our devotional understanding of the Bible in the context of the original meaning of the text as best we can understand it. Mm-hmm. And then only from there do we connect to the Bible and encounter God there more fully because of really listening to the text and what it had to say at its time and what it has to say for today.
Mm. Now, you come to it as director with a wonderful background at Harvard University.
Yes.
Received a master's.
Absolutely.
Master's in?
Study of Sacred Scripture.
Okay, I figured probably somewhere around there. And what would you say would be, I don't want to use the word danger, but misunderstandings of a person who just takes the Bible and starts reading.
Yes.
And start seeing things where
right.
I don't understand this versus
right.
what your program provides.
Well, the biblical text is 2,000 to 4,000 years old and developed in a completely different culture than ours. So you can't just pick it up like you would you know, a pharmacy, at the pharmacy, pick up a novel. You know, there's a sort of a gap to be bridged, and that's what our program does, is that gives you the tools and the understanding of the mindset and the world of the Bible so that you can enter it wholly in spirit, as Pope Pius XII invited us to do. Enter it wholly in spirit and engage it, not just read it, but really engage it to reap great results. Our motto is read, reap, and rise to new life in Christ Jesus. So that's, you know, you begin by reading, then you really enter into it, and it reaps wonderful benefits for your spirit and for the community of faith, which the Catholic Church is very adamant that we do need to read the Bible in the context of our community of faith. You know, so it's not just an individual sort of esoteric kind of encounter, but you know, and our program really builds on that idea that we have to be in the context of the community of faith. Part of every class each week is a discussion among you know, adults who have studied the same part of the Bible, done the same self-study week by week, and they come in. We begin every class with prayer, because we believe prayer is the most important context for reading the Bible, but also the community. So the class is broken up into small groups, and you talk about what you saw in reading the Bible, and your fellows talk about what they saw and what they understood, and you build upon one another's insight to really dig more deeply into the world of the Bible and the world of our God.
You know, I wanted to, boy, I get really into this, but I wanted to make sure people had an awareness of how your program is working.
Sure.
Now, these classes, most of them are held up in Hartford?
Up at, actually, Bloomfield. It's the St. Thomas Seminary, the Archdiocesan Center there in Bloomfield. And but we don't hold classes only there. I mean, that's where we're housed, and that's, we usually do have classes there. But we also hold classes throughout the three counties of the Archdiocese of Hartford, Litchfield, New Haven, and Hartford counties. And that is in order to, you know, make the program more available to more people. If you have to drive to a class once a week, you don't want to be, you know, an hour's drive, that's a long way, and Bloomfield's not at the center of the universe. So, you know, for example, this next year we've got classes starting in Milford at Christ Redeemer Parish. We've got a daytime class starting in at Caritas Christi Center in Hamden. We have one starting, an evening class in Bloomfield, and an evening class in at Our Lady of Loretto in Waterbury. So we move the classes around year by year. You start in one place and you stay near that location through all 4 years, but any particular year we'll start. We had one in Torrington a few years ago. We started over in Manchester. We try to spread it out.
How is the faculty? You must have a diverse faculty.
We do. And they are, I think, the greatest treasure of our school, because they are all highly credentialed people. But more than that, these are faithful, devoted Catholic people who are doing this not for the money. I mean, we do pay them, but, you know, this is not, they're making them rich, but they are devoted and they love our students. And, you know, we have a professor who was at Manhattan College for 40 years, and he's been with the Biblical School for its entire, since the beginning. And he loves doing it because these are people in the classes, are people that really are dying to know. They really are living to know, I should say, maybe. You know, it's they're so hungry and they're so respectful and so motivated to learn. And it's just a wonderful, the classes are a wonderful atmosphere. The teachers know how to bring that out of people as well.
So, as long as everybody really understands, there's a real effort being made to provide local access
Absolutely.
For people. And even for, I presume, because we're in Connecticut, such a small state, I presume even those in the Diocese of Norwich, Diocese of Bridgeport, they could get involved?
Very welcome. We have students come from Bridgeport, Norwich, up at Springfield, Mass. Anyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. Absolutely. And you don't have to be Catholic to enroll.
How do you enroll?
You meet with me first. You check out the program. Online is a good way to do that. Or you can call me and talk to me and find out about the program. And then once you think you might want to join, you meet with me. I meet with every student for about an hour before I allow them to enroll, not because I want to screen people out, but because I want them to really understand what the program is about and what they're getting into, because it's quite a commitment.
A commitment.
Of time and energy. Our students, we advise them, 5 to 7 hours of study outside of class a week, which is daunting for some people, but once the students really get into it, sometimes they spend 10, 15, I don't recommend that, but it's not necessary, but it's quite alluring. It draws them in and fills them up.
Well, you mentioned that, and I thought it was so important, almost a little startling, that you will meet with each candidate.
Sure.
That's person to person?
Absolutely.
We're in a world where all you're constantly learning now is you could shop using an app.
Online.
You could get medical advice, have a doctor on an app. Everything's on an app, and it's kind of scary in that, will human beings know what to do if they ever encounter another human being?
Yes.
Or does everybody have to wear a big app mask?
No. I agree, and I do that because I feel it's every person is the image and likeness of God, and it's in encounter with one another that we find God. Jesus said, "I am there with two or three are gathered." So Jesus is here with the three of us right now, and so I think that personal approach is the best way to put the Word of God into the context of human living and faith.
And I think also for us as Catholics, the more we learn about our history, because it is part of our history, and I think sometimes, we go to Sunday Mass, and what do we have? Readings from the Old Testament and readings from the New Testament.
Right,
The Gospels are all from the New Testament. Do we know exactly what we are reading?
No, we don't.
Exactly.
We don't. And that's one of the things my students get so excited about. I'm 10 weeks into the program, maybe less. They're saying, Mass means so much more to me than it ever did before. I get what they're talking about, and it's like this light has come on inside of them, and they love going to church again, and it's just exciting to watch.
I'm wondering about, because as we're speaking, especially when you mentioned the idea of understanding that 2,000 years ago began this church that we're part of now, and you're looking at a part of the world where...
Oh my gosh!
Do we understand the present from studying Scripture?
Oh, absolutely. I think that we can only understand the present by putting it in the context of where we've been, and hopefully having also a vision to where we want to go in the future. But that's what my program does better than many Bible studies is it really gives people a sense of being part of this history of people in covenant with God, coming to fruition in Christ Jesus and continuing to evolve through our traditions through the centuries since that time. So it really gives them a sense of connectedness to the characters and the stories of the Bible, as well as, I think, to our contemporary church and seeing it as a part of an unfolding tapestry that God is weaving for our world.
And we still are in a journey,
as
they were in the Old Testament.
Precisely.
We're still journeying and opening our life to more of God and Jesus.
Absolutely, Dorothy. That's how we see it. We see this program as part of the journey. And one of the questions I ask students when they come and want to enroll is this a good fit for your spiritual journey at this point in your life? The timing is really important. Are you being called by God now, and what's going on? So we talk about that and explore that. And usually they don't spend an hour with me with this. They're pretty sure they want to enroll, but I really help them dig into that.
You mentioned that word covenant, and I thought in the Mass, we, of course, in the institution, the Eucharist, we mentioned that Jesus formed a new eternal covenant.
Amen.
And so what, I mean, I think it's really awfully important to understand when you take a look at Old Testament, New Testament,
yes,
and that progression. What could our, or what should our listeners understand about covenant?
Oh, absolutely. Covenant is the heart of it all. It's our relationship, starting with Abraham, I think, mm-hmm. Becoming really aware of his relationship with God and living, walking, journeying, literally from Ur mm-hmm. to Haran down into the promised land, which was Canaan at the time. He centered his life around this call that he received from God. And it's that relationship, it's that kind of intimacy, that kind of closeness to God that God desires of us. I think that's the main mm-hmm. message of all of the Bible, is that God desires us, desires to be in relationship to us, mm-hmm. loves us more than we can even imagine, and therefore, just wants to delight us, wants to give us so much, and all, but God honors our freedom and waits for us to open the door and let that happen. And once that happens, the fruit and the beauty and the wonder in our lives is so contagious and so profoundly humbling. And that's what the covenant is really all about. It's a right relationship with God is another way to talk about it. If we are in right relationship with God, it's more than just about following the rules and doing the right things. It's about recognizing who we are and who God is, and how we are in relationship to God, this loving God, this merciful God who desires only our well-being.
Mm-hmm.
I think we forget that. Mm-hmm. We think of God as, oh, yeah, I got to be good. I want to go to heaven. No, heaven is all about God desiring our well-being, not only in the next life, but in this life.
And also a God that never abandoned his people,
yes,
in spite of the difficulties and circumstances.
And
people did think that he was not there, but he never did abandon his people throughout the whole journey.
Yes.
And still today, that's how we can kind of...
And it's surprising. The way I love about the Bible is it's so often surprising about how God reveals that he's still there. Mm-hmm. The stories, it's mm-hmm. usually... It's like God delights in turning our expectations upside down and showing us how he is with us in the lowly, as in a babe in the manger in Nazareth, for example.
You know, I think about when we get into the study of Jesus, is that something that just creates, or what does it create in the students as they really start getting into Jesus, God, and man?
Wow. Well, that Jesus, God, and man is a difficult concept to, and I think...
And then you can do the Trinity for me.
Yeah. Now, I tell them, you're not going to understand all of those mysteries right away. Mm-hmm. It's that, even the greatest saints don't have it all. God's a mystery. But all God is asking is that we enter into that relationship. And Jesus, of course, is the perfection of that relationship. He is God made human. He is God enfleshed so that we could, we can be in a closer relationship with God through his Son in a way that just really brings to fruition the relationship God had with his people in the centuries before that. Because how can God be closer to us than to become one of us, mm-hmm. and still be God? It's mm-hmm. that self-emptying. God is a self-emptier, and he pours out his self for us. It's just there's so many, it's a mystical phenomenon, mm-hmm. and digging into that, that's what we do. We dig into all of those truths and mysteries, not to solve them, but to live the questions more fully.
The courses are taught in a historical perspective.
Absolutely.
You start with the Old Testament, yes, because without the Old Testament,
precisely,
you can never get into...
Precisely. Jesus was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
All of the apostles were Jewish. St. Paul was Jewish. The first church, what we call the early Christian church, was really a sect of Judaism for 50, 60 years after the death of Jesus. So it was, you know, I don't think Jesus ever really necessarily envisioned a break. He was looking to bring God's people to a fuller relationship with God, and his context was the Jewish people. And so, you know, that's the context. And, you know, it's so wonderful today. We are recognizing how close we really are with our Jewish brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And the study of the Old Testament in connection with the study of the New Testament. My program is not mine. It's our program. It's the Catholic Biblical School. And what it does is constantly, from the very beginning, you are connecting Old and New Testament together.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the Old Testament for the first year, but every week there are questions helping you dig into how the writers of the New Testament understood the Old Testament, and are they the same? How is it different? How has it developed over time?
Another interesting thought, too, is that you kind of take a look at the idea of church scripture.
Yes.
That the church comes into its existence. The scripture will be written about events before or contemporary to it.
Right.
But the church is there. It's written for the church.
Right, exactly. The community comes first.
Hmm.
It's the basis. It's the community that recognizes that this is scripture. You know, and that process is kind of, it's very organic process. We used to have as a kid. You know, you have the picture of the angel. You know, whispering into the biblical author's ear what to write, and what you learn is that it's really a much more organic process. God works incarnationally as he did in Jesus. It's through people, through events, through all the good and bad of the world, God is revealing himself and the writing of that and the development of the text it's a powerful process, and when you come to really recognize how intricate and complex it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, then we're getting into the area of revelation, too.
Absolutely.
That God, the revealing God, is so marvelous, because it makes not only a sense of your kind of belief that, yeah, he really must really love me.
Absolutely.
He's reaching out.
Yeah.
Forgive me. In Revelation, and I don't mean to go into Revelation, but I guess I'm saying that, is that what maybe happens as they study those 4 years?
Yes.
Is that very much more is being revealed to them, perhaps, in understanding.
Yes.
What do you hope for them when they go out?
I hope that they are carriers of God's word to everyone in their lives. And that doesn't mean going out and preaching and being obnoxious, which, you know, some saint once said, you know, preach the gospel and use words if you have to. I think that was St. Francis. Yes, I think so. So it's really about them being, the students become transformed into the image of God more fully through engaging the word of God. And the impulse of all our graduates, we have over 500 graduates, every single one of them that I've ever talked to says, I have to bring this to others in my own life, through ministry, through whatever means.
How, or what do they tend to find more, I guess they're impressed with, or some themes or some areas of scripture really have a bigger impact for them.
Sure.
What has been some of the responses from students?
As far as what part of the Bible well, now everyone comes in and they want to read the Gospels. But we make them wait for a year for that, because we need them to ground in the Old Testament. But I have to say, you know, that question is really very individual for the student. You know, what the Word of God sparks in each individual student really depends on their journey and where they are. So I would say every book of the Bible can be their favorite. And every student is different.
How do they learn about, and I'm trying to think here, of the Apocrypha? All these other literature.
Oh, sure.
Do they learn, let's say, what it means for a book to be canonical?
Oh, absolutely. That is that's kind of a basic question that we talk about, although it's not an easy question to answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we Through the study of the history, we show them, you know, how we think that the books developed, mm-hmm. and where they became revered as scripture. Jesus talked about the law and the prophets as his scripture. Well, the current Hebrew Bible has the law, the prophets, and the writings. And so the writings were not yet seen quite as scriptural. They hadn't really come to be recognized in quite the way that the law and the prophets were at Jesus' time. So, you know, we try to unpack that process and show some of the factors of why certain books would have been included and not included.
And a lot of this is through oral history also.
It starts with oral history.
With oral history.
Much of the Bible starts with the oral tradition.
And also, we get an inspiration, too,
what
that's
Spirit.
All about.
Wow.
As you said, I think you mentioned earlier, it's not like someone whispering here.
Yes.
Okay, write the following. What do we need to respect about authors?
Absolutely. The church documents insist that these are true authors. These are human beings, yes, inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but that their writings are of them. So that, you know, their culture, expectations, their presumptions come through in the text very strongly. And that's why you have to look, for example, you know, slavery was something very much accepted in the time of the early Old Testament. The Jewish version of it was much more humane and enlightened because of their understanding of God, but you know, we don't have to say, okay, slavery is okay because it's in the Bible. That's not how we believe. That was part of the context, and we're in a different context. And how do those two worlds meet and engage? And that's where God becomes present, in that engagement between the two worlds, the world of the Bible and the world of the believer and the community.
It is really fascinating when you get into things like that. Do they really love to go into the book of Revelation?
Oh, they actually have fear and trepidation. They're like, I'm too afraid to study. They're a little bit nervous about studying Revelation.
That relationship with God is being a loving relationship does carry with it that sense of, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to mess this up.
Yes, absolutely.
We're thrown out of paradise. Well, I don't want to mess it up again. You know?
Yes.
But so that turns into really a very human sense of love, too.
I totally agree. Yeah. And we've got to remember that God didn't just throw us out of paradise. He also packed his bags and came with us.
How very good.
Well, listen, we are almost over. Less than a minute to go. So please let us, how does someone contact
you? Absolutely. I'd love to hear from you. By telephone at 860-242-5573. My name is BJ Daly Harrell. You can ask for me or my associate, Jill Costa. We both can help you learn more about the program. But online, we are at CatholicEdAOHCT.org, and we tweet, we have a blog, we have
all over
social media. Just Google us, Catholic Biblical School.
Wonderful. We've run out of time. I'm so sorry. Thank you for being with us. To
delightful.
Our listeners, join us again next week. God bless everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.